And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Pretty sure we don't sound like the Chipmunks today. We don't sound like a 45 record. Not today. Oh, no. Loud and clear. Coming in loud and clear. In all seriousness, thanks to everybody yesterday for the heads up on what was going on. But great show. Great day today here. Hard to believe it's already Wednesday. Of course, that's what happens when you got the fourth to start off the week. We've got a lot of things to get into as we inch to 1 week exactly from the free agency period beginning in the National Hockey League. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Max Herz manning the board. He's in the saddle
Hello.
Today at the Hillside Medical Studio. You just heard him. That was him. That was Max.
Hello.
He's real. Willie, how we doing?
Darren, I'm doing well. Extreme heat expected today, mm-hmm. So everybody be careful. I mean, like, extreme. It's been hot, but this is, like, next level kind of stuff. So mind your pets, yourself, when you're outside. You know, make sure you take the proper precautions because it is brutal. It was bad yesterday, but it's even worse today.
Spoke with somebody last night who had their kid in Tim Corbin's baseball camp at Hawkins Field yesterday and said, man, they had an awesome time. It's yesterday and today, so it's a two-day deal, I think, for our age group or younger kids, and I think the older ones, he's got one, older age group, he does one for an entire week. But they said it was awesome, and it's one of the kids on our team. Actually, two kids on our team were at it, and I was really disappointed that I didn't know that he had this camp because I would have definitely signed Maddox up, but I hear you also you have to do it way in advance because it fills up fast. I understand that. I'm just bummed that I didn't have – well, it didn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered. Ultimately, he wouldn't have been there. But next year, we'll certainly consider that. But they said while it was awesome, it was brutal because it was all – it's all day. So today, it's all day.
You know, yeah.
You're on the turf, and they said it, you know, the boys just felt like you were just walking on lava, you know, out there trying to do anything. It was crazy hot. Because if you've never been on a turf field when it's, you know, 98 degrees, man, you don't know. You don't understand how incredibly you can just see the vapors coming off the turf. Yeah. It's amazing.
You get a little extra. But that is a great camp. I remember I sent Mahoney to it. 1 year when he was a youngster, and I went up into the stands for the first talk. Coach Corbin addresses the kids and the parents the first day, and sitting right next to me was Tim Hasselbeck. He had his kids there. So
nice.
So it is definitely something that to put on the list. It's fun because it's more than just, you know, get kicking around and playing some baseball. I think Tim Corbin does a great job of sort of giving you the life lessons as well, which I think is a great part of any camp. And that's what I always try to do when I was running the camp. You just hope some stuff sticks, right? I always say this. I went to all kinds of camps when I was growing up, and I would not have made it to play in college if I didn't get a chance to do that. And I'm not saying I listened to every single person at every single camp all the time. Some stuff stuck in there. I definitely learned some things from some people that I can still remember to this day. So I think Tim Corbin does a great job in that.
Do they have the camps that we had growing up, or is there even more? Is there less? I would be curious.
I think there are just as many camps. I think there are less of the sleepover camps. That was what I always enjoyed what we did. We like to go to some different college campuses. And my dad and some of his friends were involved in colleges, so we had, you know, maybe a better deal going. But what you used to do was go from like Monday through Friday or Saturday through Friday, and you stayed in the dorms and you went to the cafeteria for your meals, and then you played all day, whatever sport it was. And then you went and slept in the dorms at night, and it was an absolute blast. But I think today it's a little – maybe it's a little different with insurance and costs and things like that. I'm not sure that those are as common as when I was growing up. But those are memories that last a lifetime, for sure. You have more memories of what happens off the court or off the field than you do on the field.
Yeah. I definitely went to sleepover camps, and I wondered if that was still a big deal today.
Maybe that's a question today. I would love to know from some parents, or, you know, maybe your funnest experience as a camp, and are they still out there? Yesterday we found out that Yoo-Hoo is still alive and well, even in the South.
Boy, is it ever.
Know, we miss things. Sometimes things slip through the cracks on us, Darren. So I'd love to know what the scene is for summer camps. What's the summer camp scene now? Do they still have the sleepover camps? I haven't seen as many.
Yeah, I got, yesterday I put out a post on social media that said, you know, I just filled up my gas tank at Sam's Club in Murfreesboro for $3.99 a gallon. And I went inside and did the gritty dance all the way across the parking lot into Sam's. I was so excited, and I was like, how pathetic is that? And some of the comments were, did you buy Yoo-Hoo when you got inside? And I was like, all right.
Yep.
We learned a lot yesterday. We learned people want to know what your plan is for America, too. I mean, it's one thing to talk about the Predators, but what is your plan for America? That was probably the one that tickled me the most. In fact, speaking of that, you know, we got so many texts yesterday, and there was one that stood out. It was later in the show, and we just didn't get a chance to get around to it. And so here's a perfect opportunity. We're going to get into a little analytics at the bottom of the hour. We got a great show planned for you today, and we're excited about it. But it came from Austin, and he said, it was a random question for you guys. This is on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, because this time of year is the time when we address stuff like this. We know once everything gets cranked up, obviously things shift and get more serious, and we can really talk about things that are actually happening rather than things that could happen or might happen. But the text goes, this goes way back when COVID hit. There were no sports to watch for months. That feels like forever ago, doesn't it? This was when you guys were doing the Last Dance trivia, and you were talking about Netflix series that you were watching. What a crazy time for radio at that time. Austin, we agree. We experienced during that time, we didn't even know. By the way, we learned so much stuff that you can do in this business that we're doing today because of that period, and we would have never, ever experimented. We would have never done that, but we did, and boy, did we learn a lot. But he starts off with you, Willie. He said, Willie, you started watching Peaky Blinders. And he said, and Darren, you also, it interested you as well. This got me interested, and I started watching it and loved it. My question is, did you guys ever finish the series? The last season just aired in June. And I didn't know the answer to it. Because sometimes I'll respond to these. I didn't know your answer. I know my answer.
Well, I watched all four of the first seasons during hockey season.
The one that was out during COVID, or are you talking about there hasn't been anything new until now, correct?
Yeah, they just put out another season. Yeah, they just put out a new season in the last month. I have not watched the new season, but I've watched everything up to that, and I can't remember. I think it was the season leading up to the shutdown and COVID is when I started watching it, and it became kind of a thing that was running through the entire team. The traveling party for the Predators, we were all watching. A lot of the players, a lot of the broadcast group, we were all watching it. So I finished the first four seasons at that point, but I have not picked up the fifth season. But I'm about to. Stranger Things has been my jam here recently. I just finished that. That is all the rage right now. So if you love Stranger Things and you have not watched season four, yeah, I think you're going to love it. It's been awesome.
So we finished Ozark was another one, right? We started watching all these shows during this time, getting back to Austin.
Yeah, and Ozark has recently just put their finale of their recent season, the last. And I don't know if there's going to be another one. I mean, I think they kind of left it in a place where they could pick it up, or they could just say that's it, and the rest is in your mind. What happens from here?
I kind of felt the way it ended. And I don't want to give anything away because I know a lot of people maybe haven't gone back and finished things up. I kind of feel like it's done, but I don't, you know, I see what you're saying, but I kind of felt like it's done. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think it would be a fine time to just have it be done. I just, you know, there's only so much I can take of the same. get into pickles and get out of them. I think you're better off, even though it's easy to grab the money on some of these shows and make another season. But sometimes I think it's right just to kind of keep it at the level, you know, quit while you're ahead. But on the other hand, Stranger Things is leaving me wanting more, man. I can't wait until the next one. But it's there's a lot to be resolved.
So I have not picked up Peaky Blinders, which I watched everything until it stopped and loved every minute of it. I have not picked up. So
what are the reviews on the fifth season? Is it good? I got to jack myself up because I was getting a little fatigued with that one. I'll be totally honest. After 4 years, I was like, okay, I'm ready to. I'm really proud that I watched it. I'm excited. But are we? Has it run its course? That's always the question.
I've talked to a couple people, and that's it. And they gave it the big thumbs up. But that's really it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So a good, worth watching the fifth season. Okay.
Oh yeah. And so Stranger Things have kind of tailed off. So I got to get back.
Oh, man, you
got to
jump
it up.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
So that
I cannot give it a higher rate. Well, I mean, there's always some nitpicks, right? There's always some things like, was that really what they should have? But everybody's going to have that. But overall, big thumbs up for Stranger Things. Big
one. Right now, they're showing the replay of NHL Tonight from last night on the NHL Network. They're talking about the Lightning trade. Ryan McDonagh to the Predators. We'll come back and discuss that on the other side. We obviously talked about it yesterday. We'll continue that discussion. Little analytics at the bottom of the hour. More DDC coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. What is going on?
I just want to say for the record that...
What is happening?
I was doing my job very well during the break, and... not only moving commercials around, but also helping Darren with something. So I was forced to use a song from whatever hotkeys that Michelle left open. And this one is like half Muppets.
I was going to say, this sounds like a walk-up song for one of my 10-year-olds. I mean, what's happening?
This is one of our favorite. In the Donick House, this was one of our favorite skits from the Muppet Show. It was awesome. We used to have, of course, this song gets stuck in your head. Thanks a lot, Max. That'll be in my head the rest of the day.
My pleasure.
But... you know, it was funny. I was watching the MLB Network the other day, just watching their little recap in the morning, and they had a morning question going on Twitter. Who is the GOAT of the Muppets? Who is the greatest Muppet of all time?
Ooh.
Is it Kermit? Is it, you know, do you count the Sesame Street guys, which, you know, in which case you could go with Elmo in there, who was not, you know, in the Muppet movie. He came along a little bit later, but, you know, you got the Cookie Monster in there, you know, so... if you go Muppets / Sesame Street, who's the GOAT? Would you go Kermit? Or would you go Fozzie Bear? Gonzo? Animal?
You going to leave out Miss Piggy?
Miss Piggy has absolutely got a ton of votes on the MLB survey. She was getting a lot of votes. A lot of votes. I think I'd have to go with Kermit as the GOAT. I mean, he just encompasses all. He's the leader. And then somebody tweeted at the group.
He's the face of the franchise?
He's the face of the franchise, but somebody did have a funny tweet that made me laugh out loud. He said, "You guys are seriously underestimating the Swedish chef."
Chris and Gallatin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who's also filled us in on, he's been giving us Bucky's reports in Crossville and Sevierville, and by the way, one's coming to Murfreesboro. He said, "My daughter went to soccer camp in Maryville for 5 days. There you go. Okay. So the soccer camp is still a big deal.
I highly endorse any sleepover camp with your buddies where you stay in the dorms and you eat at the cafeteria. Here was the trick that we always did, Darren. This was a very popular thing. You take your glass, your big plastic cup, and you go up to the fountains, and you put a mix of every single drink that they have available. You know, fruit punch, orange juice, soda. You just got to put a little bit in your cup to see how many different drinks you could put in the same drink and just see what kind of formula you come up with.
I like
that. Was always a very popular thing. And if you really were going to go hardcore, you put milk in there with the soda, with the juice, with the fruit punch. That was really strong. That got a lot of attention from your peers there. Ooh, he put chocolate milk in there with soda? You know, you're just looking for attention at that age. Right. It's like, who can be the goofiest guy that gets the laugh? Or the real move, taking the fork and firing it up into the ceiling to see if you could get it to stick in the ceiling. That was always a popular
Very
move.
Nice.
That could get you a heavy reprimand from the cafeteria lady at the camp.
No doubt. Reading on Twitter, Darren Drager, the JT Miller watch is full on in Montreal. I guess Vancouver's ask still is very high, but there is serious interest in JT Miller.
He is going to be traded. I think they have no choice. They just signed Brock Besser back, one of their younger players, and he's pretty expensive. So they re-upped on him, and they just can't keep everybody. So JT Miller, who's more of a veteran, is the guy that I think has trade value, and they're just going to have to move. He's an intriguing guy. I think he's going to fetch. I'll be interested to see what somebody fetches with him. But it kind of brings up the question that we've been asking, Darren, now that they made the move for McDonough, and we're going to learn a little bit more analytic-wise what we think McDonough's got left in the tank going into this stage of his career. He's got 4 years left at 6.75. You got to hope that there's a lot of value for the Predators there. But you're going to allot that kind of money. You're still budgeting for Forsberg. What's left over? Do you have the move to make? Do you have the funds to make a deal for a guy like JT Miller if you wanted to? That's the type of guy that I think could help your second line. But what's the cost for somebody
I was going to say, what is the cost? That's sort of, thank you. You shook the words out of my mouth. Like, it says a high price tag. So what are we talking about? Like,
well, I think we're going to find out. Did it surprise you that Fiala was only a first rounder and a prospect for a guy like Fiala? Because I would say JT Miller is not quite the offensive threat that Fiala is.
Was Fiala a UFA? Was getting ready to be a UFA? RFA.
He was a restricted free agent. Miller has got 1 year left on his current deal and then becomes an unrestricted free agent.
He's 29 years old, so you know he's still peak of his career.
Peak of his career, but you got him for 1 year, and then you got to decide at age 30 what would you want to pay him if you're going to keep him down the road. So you can see why Vancouver is ready to move forward with him. He's at 5.25 this year. And then what do you pay him after? I mean, he's pretty darn good, but I don't know. JT Miller, of course, was traded with Ryan McDonough from the Rangers to the Lightning once upon a time. Do you remember that?
Yep.
That's an interesting tie in there.
Why did you think Fiala would garner more? Because I think that's about right for. And by the way,
I think it's about right. I didn't think he would get more, but this is what you're doing. You've got to commit to the price, and then you've got to pay the guy.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would want to make a trade for JT Miller just for 1 year.
Correct.
I think you would try to be thinking, okay, do I want to invest? Like, he's making 5.25 now. Do you sign him to a, I don't know, four-year, four times six, five times six? That's kind of what I'm thinking. That's ballpark what he would at least want, right?
Well, it's like Jeremy Lauzon. We knew he was coming back. They gave up a second-round pick for him. They're not going to
trade for him. But he's
and give
super
up a second
cheap.
No, he's but I know, but you gave up a second-round pick, so you knew they were going to stick with
him. Right, you're not trading for him just to be a rental.
Kyle Turris was the same deal. Like, you knew they were going to sign him because, you know, it was a big deal, and you knew they were going to. There's just certain trades, like, you know, if you make that deal, especially if you have to give up something, like in this case a first-round pick, you just know that, you know, and by the way, the player and his agent know that too, especially the agent. He knows the team's going to have to sign him, right? They hold more of the cards because they know the team has pulled the trigger on a big trade and they're invested. So they've got to stay with it and they've got to sign the deal. So it's really, whenever that happens, I have to believe agents are drooling, right? Because they know they hold the upper hand.
Well, and here's what I didn't even realize. JT Miller, to me, has always been a really good player, but he just had a career year. He had 99 points last year for Vancouver. I didn't realize he had 99. Wow. He had 46 in 53 games the year before. And then he had a point per game season in the season where the shutdown. So with the Canucks, he's been outstanding. 72 points in 69 games in the 1920 year, and then had 18 points in 17 playoff games that year in the bubble. They had a nice little run in the bubble. Remember the upset, the defending champion Blues in the first round? So his stock is probably higher than it's ever been. But he by the time he hits unrestricted free agency, he'll be 30. So he's going
right,
to make big
March
money
of next
and
year,
you're
yeah.
paying. And so like for the Predators, they don't, to me, they don't need another guy in that age range, because in a few years, boy, you're going to have a, remember the old show on, I forget what it was, ABC, maybe 30 something. You're going to have, that's going to be the show, the 30 somethings.
Yeah, it's
you
probably
too
not
many
a place
of those
you
guys,
want to
you're
be.
Gonna have an
yeah,
old team.
You're
yeah,
in trouble.
You're gonna have too
yeah.
many old guys. Yeah.
You'll get old fast. Yeah. No, you're right about that. Some people are weighing in. Randy on our text line says it's gotta be Bert and Ernie. John weighs in and says it's gotta be Beaker. Another John
Beaker
says Kermit
wasn't
or Miss
Beaker
Piggy
the assistant
or the goat.
Yeah, Kermit. Okay.
Which, you know, you expect that, so I did have to read the Beaker one. That was pretty good.
Beaker, I think, was the assistant of Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, if I remember correctly. That they had some good skits.
Keith says they called that a suicide with no milk.
That's right.
Just
yeah,
for
the
a
suicide.
Point of reference.
Yeah. Yep, a sampling of every drink in the cafeteria.
Yep, Nate said the same thing. Said they called it a suicide, where you mix all the sodas.
Yes. Definitely. You're right. That is a term. That does go back, the suicide. Yeah.
We've got Kevin Hart tickets to give away. He's going to be at Bridgestone Arena on August the 3rd. We'll give them away at some point throughout today's show. Jack Fraser is going to join us when we come back from EP Ringside. He's got good info on players. He's got really good info on Ryan McDonagh, and we're going to talk with him. He's at JFreshHockey on Twitter. He's a good follow, too. You should check him out on Twitter. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's tell you about Loan Pronto. Yes, over and over, I am going to pound this message into your head, because this is what Loan Pronto has out there for you. There's a lot of people who know their home's value is up, and at the same time, you might have some high-interest loans that are out there. Maybe it's a car loan. Maybe it's credit card bills, things like that. Loan Pronto can get you fast cash and change your financial situation for the better. So whether you do a whole loan refinance or take advantage of their all-new equity line of credit program, either option is going to let you unlock the equity and get a check where you can take that money, get cash now, pay off the credit cards, or do something else like the home improvement project you've been working on. Get your down payment for a new home if you're looking for that. Or you can just stash away for a safety net. You can get all kinds of money out of your home, and the payments are really, really good right now. Think what you could do with, say, $50,000 or $75,000. Loan Pronto makes unlocking your home's equity easy. You can do it just in a couple of weeks. And don't just let that money pile up. Turn that house into an ATM machine and address the financial situations that may be on your mind. Call Loan Pronto now and get the details. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Thank you, David. Back here on the DDC on this Wednesday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Jack Fraser from EP Ringside at JFreshHockey on Twitter. Give him a follow. Good follow for sure. Jack, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we obviously have gotten into a lot of the trade the Predators made with the Lightning. We knew Tampa needed to shed payroll. They were at the ceiling. But little did we know Ryan McDonagh would end up being shipped to Nashville. And now that he's here, and we knew that they were looking, that they wanted to address and get another top four defenseman, You do a great job of breaking down analytics and talking about players' production levels and where they are in their career. So now that it's happened, 33-year-old Ryan McDonagh, now a member of the Predators, what do you think?
Well, I think this is the best kind of cap dump, is where, you know, you're not getting a kind of player who can't really play anymore on an overextended contract. What you're getting is a guy who the Lightning couldn't fit into their cap structure who can still really play. You know, anybody who's watched him in the past couple playoff runs will know that even if he's not the guy that he was maybe 10 years ago when he was an elite defenseman holding down a cup-contending team in New York, he's still a great contributor. You know, he's just kind of solid across the board. I don't know if there's anything in his game that I would say stands out as being elite at this point, but he has a great first pass. He's strong defensively. You know, he can kind of hold things down at both ends of the ice. And, you know, even at 33, you know, he's proven that he can still play a top-pairing role on a cup-contending team. Now, you know, you talk about a guy entering his mid-30s. You never quite know what's going to happen. We've seen guys like Brent Seabrook, for example, take a downturn quickly. But at least in the short term, I don't know if there's anything under the hood with McDonough that makes me too worried that that's going to happen anytime particularly soon.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with it. So let's go there. As you said, his age, and, you know, there's certain things analytics can't tell us, right? You know, what shape their body is going to be in, and that's where I wanted to go. This is a guy, as you mentioned, he's played a lot of minutes. He's played a lot of games. There's a lot of miles in that body, and he sacrifices that body. We went down to Tampa yesterday. He blocks a lot of shots. He's done a lot of penalty kill, a lot of tough minutes in the league. You know, that's things that I guess probably the numbers can't play out. How much do you think that can affect a guy like him that's got the miles on the body like he has?
Well, it sure can, and it really, you know, it's up to the trainers to kind of figure out where that's going to go. I would imagine the Preds have done their due diligence. They feel pretty good about it, and I'll say this, you know, for as many minutes as he's played, and, you know, even with Victor Hedman ahead of him on the depth chart, he's still playing a huge number of minutes. You know, they don't have the most depth in the league, so a guy on their second pair is still playing what for most teams would be top pairing minutes. And like you said, three very deep playoff runs, you know, kind of COVID compressed season. And, you know, the good sign for me is that we don't really see a kind of downturn in his game. You know, he's kept it pretty steady the past couple of years as a really solid kind of top four, you know, maybe number three option, which is what the Predators need him to be. So, you know, if he was kind of on the downslope or maybe really showing some signs of age, then we could maybe be worried that he was going to take a sudden drop off. But at the very least, you know, he's kept it steady even with the huge and taxing role that he's had.
You do a great job of, like, breaking down all three zones with him and his zone exits and, you know, his offensive contributions. What would you say right now, Jack, if you were just to pick one right now, what would you say the Predators are getting? What is his biggest strength, in your opinion?
Well, you know, he still has a great first pass. You know, he's a great transition player. He really carried a heavy load there in Tampa Bay where they like to move the puck up with control. And he did it. You know, he ranks extremely well. It's probably the category that he ranks the best at is in exiting the zone by passing the puck. And, you know, that's such a premium in the NHL. It's not something that necessarily will go super quick. You know, the legs will tend to go. You know, the skating can be an issue for veteran defensemen. But, you know, to still have the awareness and the poise and the puck skills to be able to make that first pass is still a premium for defensemen, and it's something that he's been able to keep steady throughout his career. So I think the Predators will be very happy about that.
We're talking to Jack Frazier, and you can follow him on Twitter at JFreshHockey. He's got some great stuff there. It's an excellent follow. Jack, I want to ask you, too, as you look at these percentiles, and you just kind of illustrated some of his strengths there for Ryan McDonough, and you can picture him maybe on the second pair. It's almost like Tampa, where you had Victor Hedman with Jan Ruda, and then you had that shutdown pair, Eric Chernak, with Ryan McDonough. I think some Predator fans can envision a Matthias Ekholm, Ryan McDonough second pair, where you got Roman Josi on the other pair, maybe with an Alex Carrier. So let's just maybe do a comparison, if you can. A Ryan McDonough, how much of an upgrade do you think he is overall from a guy like Dante Fabbro or even an Alex Carrier who's been in that top four?
Well, you know, based on what he's been in the past couple of years, I think he would be a fair upgrade. And, you know, look, you're talking about a four-year contract for a guy who's 33 years old. He might not be in that top four forever, you know, and Nashville, like you said, does have some young defensemen with a lot of skill who we can probably project to get up into that top four in the next couple of years. And once you do that, you know, you still might have a very solid guy to hold down your bottom pair, or injuries happen, be able to move up. So, you know, I think he's a guy who, based on his intelligence and his puck skills, you know, even if maybe he falls off from being that number three, number four guy, you know, I still think that that gives the Predators some good options moving forward, you know, down their blue line as the young guys develop.
Let's hit on a couple other things that you've got going, Jack, because I think a lot of people right here in Nashville are looking at, okay, what does this do? 6.75 against the cap. You've got the Forsberg situation there. And then what else? You've got an interesting article about Jesse Puljujarvi up in Edmonton, a guy that was a high first-round pick. He has not blossomed there. It looks like the Oilers might be moving on. He's a guy that might have top six potential, who maybe you could get for a reasonable price. Tell me about the upside you think he has, and maybe how a new, maybe a new environment could invigorate him.
So this is going to sound like damning with faint praise, but Jesse Puljujärvi is about as good a hockey player as you can be, while being a very poor shooter and a very poor passer, which those are two very important things for a forward. And he's not very good at them at all. You know, he's probably one of the worst passers in the NHL, to tell you the truth, among forwards, especially ones who play a top four role. And, you know, he was playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, two of the best playmakers on the planet, and he was still struggling to put the puck in the net. You know, that's a big deal, and that's probably why Edmonton wants to move him. But the other parts of his game are very strong. You know, even if he sometimes looks a bit awkward moving up the ice, he still does it pretty quickly, so you can't really complain about that. And, you know, he's 6'4". About 200 pounds, and he does use that physicality more than I think you would guess from hearing some people in Edmonton talk about him. He's a very active board player, very ferocious on the forecheck. You know, kind of looks like Valeri Nichushkin, like we saw in the playoffs. In that sense, you know, he's really willing to kind of do the dirty work on the line and help, you know, retrieve loose pucks for his line mates. And that's a big reason why when you put him on the ice with Connor McDavid or you put him on the ice with Leon Draisaitl, those two players did better. You know, even if Puljujärvi wasn't the one racking up the points, every time McDavid or Draisaitl played with Puljujärvi, they did a little bit better and they produced a bit better. So, you know, even if he's not going to rack up points, and maybe if that does limit his upside quite a bit, I think he's still a very useful player, a kind of solid third wheel that you could put in the top six, which sit next to some very skilled players. Now, in Nashville, where maybe goal scoring and creativity is something that they're looking for a little bit more, I don't know if the fit would necessarily be there. But if the price is as low as it's rumored to be, and, you know, it doesn't really seem like he's going to be able to get a lot back, I think he's a guy that any team in the league would be able to find useful.
Very interesting profile there. What do you have on Forsberg? As you're looking, we're all kind of trying to guess what he's going to get, what's he worth, all of these questions that go into when you're making a huge investment. 8 years, $8-plus million. How do you see his future in terms of the numbers that you have?
I mean, it's a risk. You look at a guy who's had a career year like that. You know, Forsberg has been a guy who's been very strong in the past, but he's never really been able to pass that, you know, 65-point good first-line level, and suddenly in a contract year, you know, as he's getting up there, he just drops a 40-goal and an 85-point season. I would be a little skeptical about dropping that amount of money on him. And that's not anything against Phil Forsberg, the player. I mean, you know, what I've always said about Forsberg is that he does everything well. You know, he's not one of those guys who's kind of a sniper specialist. He's not a guy who's a pure playmaker. You know, he really kind of every element of his game is, I think, well above average. And even as the points haven't always been there, you've always had that going under the hood. The only thing for me is really, you know, as you know, what we know about how players tend to age, what we know about how contract year bumps tend to evaporate after the big money's been signed, I would be a little bit worried about, you know, whether he can remain at that elite level that he was this season, or whether you might end up with kind of a, you know, Matt Duchene or hopefully not a Ryan Johansson situation, where the player you end up with is a great player, but they're maybe not an $8.5 million one.
Gotcha. Okay, let's end on a lighter note. This is some serious analytics you guys did, Jack. You guys did a poll, most annoying fan base, and there was a team that won going away. Explain.
Yes, it would not shock very many people to know that the Toronto Maple Leafs pretty much swept the poll. Most annoying, most delusional, and by the furthest margin, most prone to meltdown over nothing. Which, as somebody who's lived in Toronto for the past 8 years but isn't a Leafs fan, I can say that that's true. My beer league locker room back in November when they lost, I think, 5 of 6 games, I was hearing a lot of fire the coach, fire the GM, trade Matthews, trade Marner. So I can vouch first person that at the slightest provocation, the Maple Leafs fans are happy to fulfill the prophecy of the survey.
Are you saying the numbers don't play out? If you get rid of Matthews, you get better? Are you saying that's the analytics don't show that?
Well, I might have to bring that back to my team, but we'll, I would guess probably not.
Probably not. May I ask who finished second?
So the Rangers had kind of a really big come up this year. I did this poll last year as well. Rangers were kind of nowhere to be seen. You know, suddenly the Rangers win a couple games, win a couple playoff runs, and apparently their fans really rub people the wrong way. So there is something to be said about how winning does apparently cause those bigger fan bases to cause some pain on the internet. But honestly, I think you'd rather be an annoying fan base that's winning rounds than an irrelevant one that nobody really cares about.
Okay, good stuff. Jack, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Have a great summer, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Jack Fraser from EP Ringside, at JFreshHockey on Twitter. We'll come back, discuss some things you heard right there. I thought that was interesting about Philip Forsberg. Also, really good stuff on Ryan McDonough. We'll do that to close out hour number one of the DDC. We'll do that next. Tomorrow night from 6 until 10 p.m. Little draft night. Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar. It's upstairs, Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. Roby Stanley, Vili Donick, and C-Mace, who I believe his son's name is Fraser. Must be a Canadian thing. We'll break down the NFL draft. See what the Predators are going to do. Listen all night long.
The
4 hours
draft?
Of coverage. Did I say NFL? NHL draft.
I guess we could break down the NFL draft.
I mean, you could, but it wouldn't make sense.
Was this like when you had Tim Corbin on to talk about the Vanderbilt football team last month, Darren?
Yes, yes. So listen to the 4 hours of coverage. Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, right here on 102.5 and 106.3, the game. So we'll see what the Predators do. I did have my brain racing, like the worst fan base. And he's in Toronto, so I'm not surprised they did that. I know a lot of people, when the Leafs come here, they have told us, I know I've had those conversations, like how obnoxious they are, because they just kind of take over the place, right, whenever they go somewhere. They're pretty loud. But for me, just my worst experience ever, like over the years of 25 years of Predators hockey and going to I don't know how many games now at this point, my worst experience ever in the stands was Philadelphia Flyers fans. It's not even close back in the day. Spilling beer, cussing like sailors, just beyond obnoxious. Fights, I mean, just, yeah. Those were the worst fans I ever experienced.
Yeah, I don't know what his version of most annoying is, if it's actually at the game or if it's more of a social media
presence.
I think it's a combination of all of them. It is funny, though, what he mentioned in terms of, you know, the more you win, the more annoying you get.
Sure.
Sometimes. I noticed that in his poll, if you look on his Twitter thing, the Blackhawks only got 1%. So it shows you the Blackhawks haven't won in a while, because I think they would have scored pretty high during the height of their run. Don't you think? At least in Nashville, they would have ranked probably number one. But now, you know, you're not winning as much. You're probably not quite as annoying.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, of course. It's very phony. Yeah,
I mean,
I'll never forget being there. I took Brad Hopkins, Lauren and I took Brad Hopkins and his wife to a Preds game in lower bowl. And we were surrounded by Blackhawks fans. And I told him, I was like, yeah, see all this sea of red? I was like, this is what winning three cups does, and this guy turned. I mean, he about snapped his, broke his neck. He snapped it around so quick. This Blackhawks fan, he's like, "We've always been come to the games. We always travel. We're always." And I was like, "Dude, don't even try." Okay, I've been here since day one. I literally just pushed back. I was like, "No, that is incorrect." And by the way, you weren't even selling out games in Chicago till you started winning cups. You had blackouts for your games on television. So stop it with this. You've always been this, you know, rabid fan base. No, that's not true. That is absolutely not true. And of course, B-Hop's laughing and he kind of quieted down. But yeah, I mean, look, it's pretty natural with fan bases, right? You win three cups in 6 years, they tend to get a little bit louder. So I know people also talking to Preds fans, I think, you know, lately, well, it's always been like that, actually. They've always done this. St. Louis fans come in, and I know people have had issues with Blues fans in the past, so that probably would be an answer, right, from a lot of Preds fans.
Yeah. It all is your, you know, your perspective. How many games do you go to? How active are you on social media? Do you interact with other teams' fans on social media? That's a big thing for some, right? That's a whole other world if you want to get into it. And if, at the same time, you can avoid it completely if you want to. But I think Jack's perspective is interesting on the Maple Leafs because we've had some fun from afar, you know, talking to people like Richard Deitch, who are based up there. Elliot's based up there. It is an unbelievable freak out every time that team loses two in a row. And just the stress and the tension of not having won a single playoff series since 2004. It's just building so much. And you have these great franchise players like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, yet you have not been able to parlay it into success. So you can see why you could get pretty neurotic if you're a fan base up there in the hockey mecca, or in, uh-huh, in one of the hockey meccas of the world, you know.
Up north of town, Kyle from White House on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, without a doubt, the St. Louis Blues fans are awful when they come to Nashville. So there you go. There's a prime example.
There you go.
Not surprised by that. Just also reading on Twitter, Frank Saravalli, who we've certainly talked about, says that be on the lookout, that don't be surprised that Vladimir Tarasenko still may be on the move out of St. Louis. Like, what is up with that? Like, I don't understand. Remember when he wanted to be traded? And then they rescinded the trade request, and now he's saying that he still could move on.
It's a high cap figure. It's a high cap figure. He did have an excellent bounce-back season. And so now you might find somebody who would take Vladimir Tarasenko. But I think what you're looking at with St. Louis is – you're trying to find ways to get better. You want to bring back David Perron. You want to find another top four D. It just shows you that everybody's got issues. We have analyzed and we have picked through all of Nashville's, you know, blemishes on the roster. Fair to say, like we're just saying, hey, they're not as good as the Avalanche. They've got to get way better. How do they do that? They can't. They're not that good. But really, everybody who is not Colorado, and Colorado's got major decisions too, just like Tampa does, to stay on top, the teams that are trying to fight, they're still trying to find ways to get better. And so maybe St. Louis is looking at it saying, if we can get rid of that, what does Tarasenko make, 7 point something? If we can get rid of that, and that leaves us room to do X, Y, Z, we may end up being better, as great as Tarasenko was this past year. Tarasenko makes 7.5 this coming year at age 30, and he'll be an unrestricted free agent at that point. See, they've got it. They've got to also look at Ryan O'Reilly. That's the big thing. He makes 7.5. I think they prioritize him more, and he's unrestricted at the end of next season. See what I'm saying? You got to make, no matter who you are, it's like David Poile said at the press conference, he was sort of defending his position with rebuilding, transition, all these terms he's used that they kind of pinned him down on. He's like, look, every team is constantly in a salary cap world having to make tough decisions and transitioning and rebuilding, reloading, all of those things. They've got tough decisions. O'Reilly and Tarasenko are great examples. One more year each at 7.5 and then unrestricted going into their 30s.
I thought it was very interesting what Jack had to say about Philip Forsberg. And, you know, he's like, while he was complimentary of him, he's like, it's also, the way I took it, enter with caution. That's the way I took it.
Absolutely. Especially when you're talking about 8 years. Mm-hmm. I think that's the caution, that's the world you live in. When you say I want to make an 8-year commitment to keep this guy, you know that it's certain, you know, especially in the back half of it, there's a lot of caution. I think the real question that he may be brought to the table is, can he play at the level he's been playing at for 4 years? Let's just say 4 years at the level he's been playing. So that, you know, it's a question that I think a lot of people, they kind of know, but they don't like the alternative of not having them. So it kind of brings up, you know, are you willing to walk away if you set the hard line and it's, hey, look, we're not going past 8.x, 8.2, whatever it is, and we're drawing the line in the sand. Are we willing to walk away if he won't take it? Just because, look, there is a value that if you go past it, he's just not worth that.
Yep. Josh from Lebanon on our text line says, Vancouver and San Jose back in the day were horrible fan bases coming to Nashville. I do remember, I think the worst fight we've ever seen in the stands was with the Sharks fan, was it not? Remember tumbling down the steps? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a Sharks game, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember exactly when that was.
Yeah, I don't know how long ago that's been, but I think that's the worst fight I've seen in the stands. I mean, they literally were rolling down the steps in the lower bowl. And I'm pretty sure it was the Sharks game. All right, let's do this. We're going to switch gears when we come back to begin hour number two. But right now, caller 9, since we've been talking about Philip Forsberg, caller 9 at 615-737-1025. 737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller 9 will win a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena on August the 3rd. Good luck. Hour number two next.